Changing World, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths to a more fulfilled way of being, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a higher understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, internationally acclaimed medium, Suzanne Northrup. And now, your host, our MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This is Filippo Voltaggio indeed, and this is exciting. I wonder if you can call him on that phone and tell him to call me. We are having an interesting live show. This is our first live event for 2011. Yes, thank you. We are in a beautiful location, actually, here at Jackson Allen, and they use the internet every hour of the day and every day of the year. And today, the internet, or not today, just now, the internet stopped working. And of course, we do our show live on the internet. So here we are. Hopefully you can hear me well. I'm doing this part on a cell phone. Gosh, I guess this talk about life changes. Now, Suzanne says this happens to her all the time. She says she goes into studios and, like, the biggest studios, like Clear Channel or what have you, and equipment breaks down, like multi-million-dollar equipment, or it stops working. And she said once she was off the air for 7 minutes at a time because of the energies that she brings in or the spirits that want to come and talk through her. And I asked her, what's it about? Are they playing with us? Do you know, are they fucking with us? I mean, hey, I've been pretty calm through all that, so if I just use this word for now, but what could be going on? And she said, you know, it's hard to tell because it's energies. It's a higher frequency. It's another frequency. And so just energies coming in affect the energies that we use through our cell phones or whatever it is. So it's kind of interesting that we're having to do this this way, but at least we're on and we're still live, and we're still going to have a great show, and I look forward to that. You know, I was going to have a monologue, and it was a very beautiful monologue, but I think this has been monologue enough. That the fact that I think that everybody here has been so understanding, the live audience, and of course our guest Suzanne as well, and then our producers are running around like crazy, and so are the owners of Jackson Allen, and everybody's trying to make it work, and yet in a way, it is. It is working. We're still here, the guest is here, and we're going to be able to have a show. So I think that's a tribute. I'm not sweating, or at least you can't tell. I'm doing my best, and I'm excited that we have a show to do and we can do it. So here we are. So Suzanne, are you on your cell phone yet? You are. You're live. Well then, come on down. You're the next guest on Life Changes with Filippo. Now, for over 30 years, Suzanne Northrup has been an internationally acclaimed medium, an expert in psychic phenomena, a TV and radio host, and has authored 3 books of her own to date. She has helped thousands worldwide process, rediscover, and heal from the loss of loved ones by bridging the gap between the world of the living and the higher consciousness spiritual world. Now, I hear somebody online. Is that you all over there? Oh, okay. I'm hearing myself. Are we connected that way? Then maybe when Suzanne came close, then I'm being picked up there. Okay, that's okay. Just as long as I think that's all right. In addition to her top-selling book, Everything Happens for a Reason. Oh, that's interesting. That's right. That's her book. Everything Happens for a Reason. Well, explain this one. Now published in 4 languages, and her other book, Second Chance, which I'd love a second chance at this, but I think she's talking about something else. Second Chance, Healing Messages from the Afterlife. Suzanne is breaking new ground, yet again with her most recent release, A Medium's Cookbook, Recipes for the Soul. In this book, Suzanne shares her tips and tools for us to all begin tapping into our own power to connect with loved ones. The Afterlife, Suzanne's Emmy-nominated TV series, has captured the imagination and hearts of millions in both the U.S. and Canada, demonstrating Suzanne's unparalleled talent as a medium and profound impact on those who experience her work. And the Suzanne Northrop Radio Show continues to reach new and amazed audiences every month on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Boy, I'm glad I memorized that. Suzanne, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you, Felipe. Me too.
You've been such a great sport.
Oh. Well, one has to rock and roll with whatever happens.
And we're rocking and rolling. What could be happening? What's happening, right? What's happening?
Well, like I said to you, that there is quite literally frequency that happens with the dead people. And from best I've gathered, it's because they don't have bodies. And so they work on a higher frequency. It's like if you were to think about mind-to-mind connection, it moves very fast. If you think about the speed of light from the sun to whatever, it moves very fast. So because they don't have bodies, it's dense. So the frequency, I think, kind of screws up electrical things. Because they work on an electrical vibration. And interesting enough, they not only work on electrical vibration, but that is just one of the many ways that they make connections to us when they pass over.
You know, that's interesting, because I was going to ask you, just this holiday and many holidays when our whole family gets together,
things happen. Yes.
And so we had several rooms that we were all staying in a hotel, but my mom, in her room, the lights were going off and on, and we all saw it. And our dad passed away.
Very common.
Really?
Yes. Electrical things, well, actually the number one way of contact is dreams, because if you think about it in terms of the forms of the consciousness that's going on at that time. But electrical things are very common. Lights going off and on.
Exactly. Yes. That we're normally up.
Television's going off and on. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, it's a frequency thing, so it makes a lot of sense to you. It has to do with that electrical stuff. And generally, unless you have a pushy dead person, that was a joke.
No, I believe that.
But, the Italians in your family, things like that, they'll do it. But quite literally, what they'll do is they'll take their cues from you in terms of settlement, of how close or how far they'll come. But most people aren't freaked out about lights going off and on or electrical things going off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And sight is actually the least form of contact, contrary to what a lot of people think. So, I mean, contrary to what politics think.
Well, we particularly had... a few loved ones, my father and my godfather, and so I was trying to say, okay, if it's my father, blink once. You know, if it's my godfather, blink once.
It doesn't always work that way.
It didn't. No, it didn't.
It's not an on-command thing. It's like you expect them to do tricks because they're dead. Though.
Yeah, and then I call people in the room and say, come look at this.
Yeah, but you understand that.
I understand.
And by the way, it's, you know, they're as humorous as we are about this.
Uh-huh.
And I think unless you can, like, wrap it around your head, what most people do not understand is that not only do they contact us, but it's their responsibility.
It's their responsibility to contact us?
Yes.
Put your microphone closer just in case.
I have to do the whole thing.
Just a little, yeah.
We'll do this like this. How's it?
Okay.
That's not doing Isadora Duncan. No. Okay. Now, you know this, how she died. Just in case you didn't know that, with the scarf around your neck. Thank you. I'm good. Somebody can do that.
But we're not talking to her, though, right?
Oh, no. Unless you have a dead person connected to her, there's no reason for us to talk to her. But anyway.
It's their responsibility.
It's their responsibility. And it's a really basic reason why. Why do you think? Because they love us.
Because they love us.
And because they know you're a mess. And because they love you. They want to let you know that they are fine and well to help you in your process. Very simple.
Now, is it their responsibility to help us in our process?
No. The responsibility is to contact you or somebody connected to you or somebody within the family to let you know they're fine to help you in your process of grief. They're not allowed to interfere with your path. So, unless they're allowed to. And I can tell you many people that have had circumstances where they've been in intense car accidents have walked away, and they will tell you, like, right before they saw their mom or their dad or their brother or somebody connected to them passed. So that meant at that moment they were allowed to help you because they love you. But
right.
ordinarily, as a rule, there's not an interfering in the past that's not in the program, so to speak.
So they're not allowed to come through you and you help somebody make pottery or something like in the movie Ghost?
Well, but interesting enough, that would happen because, see, that was a validation. Now, he's being funny. Because that was a validation of the contact situation.
Okay.
It was a verification of him validating himself coming through.
Okay.
Which, of course, we know the big way that he did this was to save her. I mean, that was pretty clear.
Where does...
You want me to give you a test on that movie? I'll give you a big test on that movie.
I'm worried.
No, be worried. The actual, and I like to use this because there's actually a difference between dead people and ghosts.
Okay.
Okay? And in the movie Ghost, there was actually only one ghost.
Who's a dead person?
Well... the definition of a ghost, and by the way, just for a little trivia information, where do you think there are more ghosts in this country than anywhere else? Anybody know?
Haiti.
This country.
Oh. Las Vegas.
Well, there are different kinds of ghosts there, Filippo. actually, the South.
Really?
Gettysburg. What happened there? The war. And right after the war, they actually brought in what we call rescue mission work. And what it is they brought mediums in to help these boys. Remember, only the body is dead, but if in your consciousness, just like in the movie, you're still alive, you may think you're still alive. So what happened is they were sort of hiding in the barn, kind of behind the enemies.
Wow.
So they had to be brought, you know, to what we call that process of transition. So the definition of a ghost is a dead person that either does not know they're dead, or they've chosen to be in that in-between place and have chosen not to move on.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's what I'm telling you.
But I did know Haiti was not in this country. I just didn't understand the question.
I'm really impressed now, Filippo.
Okay.
So, in the movie, there's actually one dead person that knows he's a ghost, who has chosen not to move on, and has chosen to freak everybody out. And who is that? Jim, the guy on the train.
Right.
Because he knew he was dead. So he was what we call in the astral plane, so to speak. And in the astral plane is like the plane where, you know, people get freaked out and things of that sort. They can't do anything to you. They're like pranksters. They're like kids playing games on you. But they know if you see them dead, then you have a response. Now, obviously, Mr. Swayze, Patrick Swayze, which is kind of a bad first pun, but at the time he was
alive.
Alive, but he was dead in the movie.
Right.
But his whole premise was to let her know that he was okay, which is kind of why he was channeled through, but also to protect her in that process.
Where did this, how did this happen to you? I mean,
how did I get this way?
Right. When did this happen to you? You were normal before, right?
Well, that's pushing it, Filippo. I've actually been this way since I was about 5 years old.
Is there any particular thing that happened, or you just started to get
conscious
of it?
Well, a lot of things happened, but when I was very young, when I was at the age of 5 or 6, I was very clear that I was different, but I didn't really know what that meant. I just kind of knew things before they happened, but it wasn't until I was 13, which is a great age to begin with, where I actually had my first experience with a dead person, and that was my paternal grandmother.
Okay.
And she was this big, Gothic, very influential woman in my family, and she got colon cancer, and like I said, she was this big woman, and so the last time that I saw her, she went from like whatever she was to down to about 85 pounds.
Wow.
And the night I have to figure of her actual physical death, because I want to call it her physical death, she came to visit me. Now, most experiences are not the Hollywood experiences, although I happen to have had the Hollywood experience. She came, she stood at the bottom of my bed, and she said, keep up with your panelists, I'm going to give you my favorite house, I can't visit you often, but I want you to know that I'll always continue to love you.
Was she 85 pounds, or was she her
heavy stuff? She was 85. She was big again.
She was big again.
So the last time I saw her, she looked like that. And when she came to see me, she was big again. So I was in, like, grandma's well. Maybe things will go back to normal, whatever that means. And she's okay. But she was doing grandmother things with me. So at that moment, quite literally, that's what happened. And the next day, of course, what proceeded to happen is my mother said to me, we're going to go to the parlor. Well, I didn't exactly know what the parlor was. Well, of course, I learned real quick.
I don't know what it is either. Is that in the United
it's
States?
It's called the funeral parlor.
Oh, okay.
And so what happened is that I think it was a couple of days. My sisters were much younger than me. And, of course, I had to make the appearance, being the oldest. I got there, and at my first moment of what my sight was, and I have to tell you, it was like it happened yesterday, is I saw this box with this person dressed in my grandmother's clothes.
Oh, wow.
In this box.
Mm.
And I said, like, this is like, why would they do this to my grandmother? I mean, why would this? Somebody
like a bad joke.
Put them in,
yeah.
This is a bad joke. Mm. It's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
So I'm only gathering that I must have been speaking to her or speaking out loud. Because at that moment, my mother said, like, semi-hysterical, comes running down the aisle and says, you need to assist in the car. So I went and sat in my grandmother's car, and, of course, she followed me. And then, of course, we drove, you know, I was a farm girl, so we drove, like, 100 miles an hour to the one street town afterwards. Now, what happened to me after that was, and my very strong sense is that I knew my grandmother was well. I knew my grandmother was all she was before. But I had to kind of figure out the process of, it wasn't like, what was I going to do with it, but it was just sort of like, I knew she was well, and that's what was important. Obviously, things changed a little bit at that moment in time.
Mm.
I think that probably my wires opened up a little more.
Mm.
But, you know, it's sort of, my mother is a pretty tuned-in woman, so I think that sort of helped move with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, I had to kind of figure it out. I mean, it wasn't like there was a lot of literature laying around, you know, about
at the time, especially.
And in those days, it was a little different than it is obviously now.
Did you talk about it much to anybody?
No. There wasn't a lot of people. My father obviously was freaking out because it was his mother, and my mother trying to deal with my father freaking out. And like I said, I was a farm girl, and I just kind of like. Did what I, you know, what I always did. I went out in the woods and hung out and just sort of like, I guess it was really more like the missing of my grandmother, although I knew she was okay wherever she was.
Mm.
And one of the things about that, for me, that's the most significant, is that I think if anybody, particularly if you've seen somebody go through an intense illness, and you see them well after the illness, you would have a very different perception of death.
Mm.
You would see them, all these people that we love, that have gone through a process, you would see them well. And there's something very powerful in that. And it's extremely powerful for anybody, but I think it's very powerful for a young child. That would be very effective.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about that experience, because what I know about you actually... Most people that have watched your show and listened to you on radio or read your books know that you help people understand the crossover process and help people, or at least feel better about people that have gone.
Yes.
So that was your very first experience.
That was
your feeling better about.
And like I said to you, is I think if every single person had that experience, they would feel very differently. I've done this work for a very long time, but I would probably say that the intensity of my work has probably been the most intense with people that have lost children.
I can't imagine.
You can't even imagine that. But one of the things that I try to sort of share with people, because the devastation is kind of up here, is that I sort of tell them the story. I usually do this in my seminars and stuff, and I tell them the story of the little boy who's just, you know, just passed. And he's standing at the gates, and God says to him, sort of matter-of-factly, you know, why don't you want to go through the gates and play with the other children? And he says, because every time I go to the gates, my mom is terrible about my candle. And You know, it's like mommy's going to grieve, daddy's going to grieve, everybody's going to grieve who's lost that little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But that little boy wants you to know that he's okay and he's safe. And he will do, kids are kids. Kids are going to, they're going to jump up and down. They're going to blow out cameras. They're going to do big things because that's who they are. I mean, once in a while I'll get a child that's a little shyer. And not quite as sort of pushy, but they will go to real extremes to let their families know.
I remember when we came back from the funeral, actually that night, I don't remember who, but one of us had a dream, my father's funeral, one of us had a dream that we cried too much. And my
that
father
was the dream that was
stop.
Called a visitation.
It's enough now. That's a visitation.
The number one way of contact is dreams, but the dream actually determines if it's a visitation or not. So, if, for example, if you had a dream with somebody and you're still seeing them, particularly if they were ill, that's not a contact dream. That's a your stuff dream. You're not able to move past seeing them in that particular state of consciousness.
Interesting.
If it's a dream, and they tend to be very fast, where they'll come to you and, like, that moment, they'll say, I'm okay.
Right.
Don't cry for me anymore. I'm out of the pain which your father was in. I'm not in it anymore.
Right.
And he wants everybody to know that he understands you miss him, but you're all going to see him again. And you have to understand that this dignified man, of which who he was, is no longer in that pain to see the people who love him in that pain.
Wow. Wow. You just connected with him, actually. That's
and
interesting.
He's just standing next to you. But anyway, and he's actually better looking than you, so we're talking about But that's okay. We know you got your looks from somewhere, anyway. But, and I think that's probably his humor as well. But in any case, that's important. And I understand we want these people that we love here. I get it. I've been there. I know the story. But you don't walk in another person's path, and that is their path, and that's their time. And they will go to let you know to extremes to let you know they're fine and well.
Now, is how we do things here or how we think about them or worry about them or think things should be differently, does that block them, because you just mentioned about the little boy who didn't go through the gates, does that block them from going on to what they're supposed to do?
No, because we don't have any control of them. That's really more of a story about what happens when particularly children, you know, they want their family so much to know that they're okay.
Okay.
And it's hard. It's pretty intense.
Okay, so they wouldn't stay back to make sure the family is going to be okay.
No, what they will do is they'll make, I've known children to quite literally make the rounds. I mean, literally make the rounds. Go to all kinds of people to let you know. As a matter of fact, the two number one people that make contact are children.
Other children, right.
And animals.
Mm.
So if you've ever seen your little kitties do this, and you don't see anybody there, trust me, there's somebody there.
Oh, the kittens.
The kittens,
yeah.
The doggies, yes.
Wow.
Because, you see, number one, they don't have the same aspect of fear of death that we do, number one. And they see fear. I mean, animals naturally see fear. And I can tell you, many people that have lost their animals, they will tell you that they have felt them jump on their bed after they pass. They have felt them at their feet.
Right.
And they'll see somebody else, you know, just seeing something, wag a tail and not anybody there, and they'll be looking at something which you would say is safe, which is really not safe.
Right. What about reincarnation? How could you, if reincarnation exists, how could somebody contact you, or how can you contact me? I don't know how this works.
I got it. I see what you're saying. Well, first of all, let me sort of say this to you. Do you know Bing Crosby? You ever heard of him?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Love it, a Bing.
Okay. Do you ever get a chance to still hear him?
On records, yeah.
Right, because he's recorded.
Right.
We're all recorded. Everything is recorded.
I knew it. I mean, you're not talking about Big Brother, though, right?
No, I'm not talking about Big Brother. What I'm saying is that even if somebody has reincarnated, which probably, to be honest with you, they haven't while you're still here, because we don't come back that fast. I mean, there's not a set rule, but unless you pass really, really young, we have like one lifetime per five generations. And I'll give you another little jeopardy question. If you actually go to the cemeteries, you'll notice that people stop visiting after about five generations.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there really is a thing about that process. So So if you're saying one, you know, per 100 years, you think about it, most of those people will have not have come back. They'll probably still be there. They'll also probably still be there because they will be there if you need to have them be to be there in terms of connecting to them. Because sometimes loss are so intense for people and their grief is so intense that they need to have them there when they go over. And they are there to bring them over. Because no one dies alone. We're always met by people we love.
Wow. Wow. You know, this is so, it's fascinating. I thought I knew about this stuff, but what you're sharing with me tonight, and I'm fascinated. And
I'll tell you, you know, what's so interesting to me is that, you know, when people say, like, you're into that stuff, and I go, like, that stuff. You mean like life and like death and about losing people that we care about? That stuff that absolutely nobody in the world is interested in.
Which is part of us, absolutely.
It's part of it. It's part of our life. It's part of our process.
Right.
I'm sure that you have people in your family, you know, when you grew up, people, some people go through the death process. It's very common in most indigenous cultures. In our culture, we send people away. We don't watch. We don't want people to get old. We don't want any of that to happen. It's part of life. We do everything we possibly can to prevent the inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. Everybody's going to become a dead person. Period. It's part of the process. And because it's the process of love. And it's really, that's what it is. It's nothing more than that. And it's that continuum of love. You didn't stop loving your dad because he left his body. And he didn't stop loving you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I ended up loving him more, not because he was dead, but because I felt like I understood him more.
Right.
And that because we were communicating on a different level.
Exactly. And sometimes that's why when you ask, Filippo, if it's the same way, well, it's not the same way because, and a lot of times I'll get messages and they'll say, like, well, that person, I didn't know that person when they were here, or why would they come through? And I say, like, well, I can't tell you why, but generally they'll come through as a validation, maybe through somebody else, or maybe in a way for you to give out a message for somebody else. I can't tell you there's a million other reasons why. But I can tell you that the personality of that person would come through to identify that they were coming through. That's key. But are we in the same place? Well, are you in the same place you were 5 years ago? Probably not.
No.
Not because you've evolved to a certain level.
Right.
Well, when you leave your body... It's called, you leave your body, and it's like right there in the face because we don't have any way to go from it or move from it or escape it, so to speak. So it's a different process.
Wow.
And, you know, you get over all the things of like what is, you get to know what's important. What's important? It's like...
When you're on the other side, you mean?
On the other side, and I always hope that, you know, in terms of what I do and sharing with people about what I do, is that in the grand picture, when that person drives down the road and they cut you off, it's like, I understand it's a big deal, but in a big scheme, when you lose somebody you love, it's nothing.
Right.
It's like, why are we putting all that energy into that when we should be putting energy into... what's important in life.
Yeah.
And it's like you learn the degrees. Mm. You know, I just did an event in Florida in November, and it was for an organization that, I don't want to say all of them have lost children, but most of them have had pretty intense passing. Anyway, we all got to there at this convention, and the day we got there, there was a main gas pipe that broke. So needless to say, the hotel we were in and the entire strip had no gas, which meant no showers, which meant no food, which meant, you know, all of these basics that we're used to having, right?
Because you came in the tent.
All because, I know, it's really true. It happened when I went to the fires, it happened. But anyway, I was hoping that it wouldn't happen when I came to LA this time. But anyway, what happened from that experience was that the group, and there was about, I think there's about, maybe about 110 people that were staying in the hotel, and we kind of got used to cold showers and stuff. But the night the first time that I was speaking, I said to everybody, I said, well, you know, I know everybody in this room understands that this is an inconvenience, and, you know, we've got to, like, rock with it. But I also know that every single person in this room knows that there's a man who lost his life today because of this gas pipe, which means he's either left a mom or a sister or a brother or a son or a daughter. And you know that that's much more significant than cold showers for 2 days or food out of whatever it is, because you know. And we had heard after the group left the hotel that there was not one single person out of that 125 people that complained once. Because they know. That's not a big deal when you've lost a child, or in some cases, two children.
Suzanne, you're going to be doing a workshop. It's the reason why you're here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
What will that consist of? How are you teaching people actually how to get connected themselves?
What I'll do is I'll talk about the ways, like some of the ways we've talked about here. I'll go into more detail about it. I'll tell some great stories. I always do what I call a walkthrough after, and I'll do a Q&A with the audience. It's a three-hour seminar. And then I usually do a walkthrough meditation with everybody, because there seems to be something that, even though a lot of people have meditated, there seems to be something of more of a comfort in doing it within a room with me, doing what I do. I can't sort of explain it, but, you know, people. And then I'll give about, you know, the last hour for messages. That's kind of, you know, how I do a traditional event.
Well, we actually hope that we could have you do some messages here tonight.
Okay.
And I know that you've been obviously giving me some messages. My dad doesn't think I'm very handsome, but
no, he just said you wasn't as handsome as him.
Very handsome.
So, and I also think it's his personality, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of like a louder in life type, you know, bigger in life type guy.
Yeah, he still is, obviously.
Yeah, of course he still is. Yeah. But you see, if he came by as frail and not, you know, you would say, like, that's not my father. But he's going to come through in the way you knew him to be, so that you knew it would be him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now,
who is he honored by?
Honored by?
Yeah.
Me, of course.
Of course. Oh, okay.
What do you mean by?
Well, honored usually means the first and middle name passed down.
Oh, my younger brother has his name.
Okay, thank you. That's all. That's the way he lets me.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. When they tell me honor, it always means the first and middle name that's passed down.
Uh-huh.
And interesting enough, for certain people or certain cultures, it's a big deal.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, now, obviously, we're having this communication between the two of us, and but you haven't connected with anybody here, you don't know anybody here, but how does it come through? It just, somebody shows up?
Just shows up. They just show up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is something showing up?
Do we want to do that now?
I think let's take a few minutes right now to do that.
Okay. Can I walk in pace?
Sure.
Okay. I do it much better that way.
Okay.
All right. Just real quick here before I do what I do. I tell people I have no idea who's going to show up the way they're going to show up. They identify by a couple of ways. But I will tell you, if I get a name, it doesn't mean that that person's passed. I never know how they're going to identify. Sometimes I identify by their names or the names of somebody who is connected to them, and sometimes they'll give me what I call a parallel relationship, so that you know that that's the way that we're giving it to me. Do you need to do something? You're fine? Okay. Your mom's passed? Her mother's passed? Okay. Was she like a mother to you? There's a woman who comes through like a mother connected to you, very strong. Yeah. Did she live with you guys? This person had to live with nearby for something. And she comes as a very big woman. And she spoke another language. I'm hearing two languages. Yeah. And I think I'm on your mom's side. Yeah. I don't know what the language, but I know it's two languages. And when I'm with her, I smell roses. It is. Okay, thank you. Was that her name, or did she... Was, or,
she didn't live with her. She was in Mexico.
It was she? Interesting, because she comes through. So does that mean your daddy's passed? He's still here? Then she's making an honor to him. Now, she tells me quite literally there's a son with her.
Yes.
And so that would be your uncle. Did you know him? Okay. He's been passed a long time. His pass is a major upset in the family. This would be a brother to your father. Now, who was younger, please? The eldest. And there's a month of June or July that's connected with somebody's birth or passing.
Strange.
That would make a lot of sense. But your father is obviously still here. Okay, is he somewhere else, even though he's living? Does he live here? That's what I was going to say. I feel like I'm not here. So I don't know if the other family is elsewhere or whatever it is, but I feel like I'm not physically here. We're living right now. So you said your father's in Chicago. You're living
here.
This is Los Angeles. That is a different state, isn't it? Just checking. Because when they come through, they're letting me know. They're telling me quite literally your father's not here. I mean, he's here, he's living, but he's not physically here. Do you understand? Yes? Okay. I'm going to ask you one other thing because I think I'm with you, unless I'm to the left here. Where am I hearing an A in name, like an Ann or Anna or something to that effect, please? Anne Marie is who? She's an aunt? Is she with your father? What aunt is she? Is she on your father's side? Your mother's side. So would she be a sister to your mom? Okay, and she's passed? She's still here? Okay. Her mom must be passed because she's identifying by these sisters.
That's my grandmother on my mother's side.
Okay, so they're both coming through. They're very different people, by the way. So I don't know if it's culturally different or very different, but that's how they're coming through. You understand this. I want to ask you this, please. Is that your dead dog or your dead dog? There's a dead dog right here. Okay? Now, I want to ask you this, too. Okay? And I want to say, was there a distance in their passing, by the way? Okay. Because it's interesting, one passed and then the other one passed. But did you put one to sleep? Yes. Because the doggie is telling me, I know this may sound strange to you, that you needed to put it to sleep. So did you know this dog? Did you know this dog? Oh, okay, because it's interesting. He sits right here. That's why I was almost sure that I wasn't sure which one he was connected to from the way that he's coming through. You do understand it.
Yeah.
And I have to ask you one other quick thing here. Did you replace him?
No. Yeah, we have a new dog that we still found the day that my dog died.
Thank you. Yeah, because he says I'm replaced, but I'm smarter.
That's
definitely what he's telling me. Now, it's odd because I really don't think that this was with you. I feel like I'm over here. Somebody had birds. Somebody had birds in their family. I mean, they're literally showing me birds.
My grandmother.
Okay, and is this your mama's mama? Okay, were they small birds? Were they like parakeets or something like that? Yeah, they're small. So that means your daddy's passed? Okay. Now, I can't give you that information, but his father would be coming through if that would be going on right now with him. Do you understand? And I want to say I'm hearing a name like Alan, Ellen something. I don't know if I'm hearing A-L's or E-L's name. Alan, who's that to you? Well, then he's coming through. Would he have been like a brother to you? It's interesting because he's coming through as well. Now, do you guys know each other?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, isn't that interesting? That's why he's standing here. Now, this man tells me he knew he was going to pass. He says he passed very fast, but he knew he was going to pass. Okay? And he's telling me whatever was going on with him, his life was like this prior to it. I feel like I'm like this. He tells me he left somebody here that he was very close to. So I don't know if he left a brother or a male friend, whatever it is, but he's talking about him being very strong. Now, Alan tells me, by the way, he's a very smart man. That's what he tells me. He's a very, very smart man, and I feel like at one point in his life he did very well. And I don't know what happened after that, but I feel like I'm like this. Do you understand? Now, it's interesting because he tells me there was quite literally a tribute to him. And he says he feels very honored by that tribute. And it's very important. And I feel like I'm gathering like the family was not the family. Do you understand? And I'm gathering you were family. And he's being very strong about that. Now, I hear this when I'm with him, so I'm either with him or there's somebody else I'm getting it. Where do I hear the name David, please? David, Daniel, I hear those names alike. But David, Daniel, Donovan, it's definitely male to see. And I don't see talking about somebody here or somebody who's passed with him. You may not know, because you may not know everybody who was connected with him. Yes. And by the way, when I was sitting next to Filippo, I also heard a James in here, too. So, and who would that be? Is that with one of you guys also? He's also James? Then he's coming with Alan. Yeah. Now, quite literally, I don't know if one of them... Okay, he passed that. I feel like, boom, I'm gone. But I also want to say I'm problems in my right in here. So I don't know if somebody smoked, had lung cancer, lung something, but it's a heaviness. So if it wasn't James or Alan, it's got to be somebody else, because there's actually three guys that are coming through. So they're all coming through here together, quite literally. And would you know if he passed in the month of March or May? March, yeah, okay. That's just how they identify, yes. And it's interesting, they come through as very different kind of guys, and one either was tall or had that, you know, you knew when he walked into the room. And somebody's connected to them, I want to say play piano. I'm literally feeling like keyboards. Unless he's identified by somebody here that's connected to him. Oh, you do. Oh, I guess he would know that, wouldn't he?
We just had a tribute to him here in Hollywood at Shelley. There was a lot of piano playing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he feels very touched by that, because I think he knew he connected to people's lives, but I don't think he realized to the extent he did.
A lot of people are touched here, I can see.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he tells me, interesting enough, he's made visitations to you since he's passed.
Yeah.
Yes. So you would know that. And it comes from what I would say of importance.
Hmm.
Very much. I'm telling you, this man knew he was going to pass. There's not a question. And the end is hard for him. He's going to keep an eye on your father for you. Does your father live elsewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we're back in the cold over here. All right, cause I feel like I'm back that way. Did you see him of late, or did you see him for the holiday or whatever?
Yeah, very distant hometown extension. From
that's nice. That's nice. Did you say your name was Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I heard the name Kenneth, but I heard it with him, so I wasn't sure where they were crossed over. Did you know his dad? Was his dad young when he passed, you know?
Yeah, very young.
Yes, thank you. Because this man comes like a young man, and I feel like your father was very affected by this passing. And I feel left a lot with him a lot of his life. And I don't think he ever shared this with you, because I don't think he was not able to do this, but he reflected, like, how he should be as a father, because he didn't have a chance to experience that. So I think he grappled with it. It is difficult. And I think he probably tried the best he could. You know? And one of the sides of the family, if it's not your father, there's a lot of siblings. I mean, somebody's, like, really fertile, man.
Yeah.
I'm like 7 or 8. I mean, there's like literally.
11, yeah.
Yeah, there's like literally a lot. Would you know if there was like 7 or 8 left that I would hear that way?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's literally how they're telling me the elements are over there. And one just passed not too long ago. Yes, and I don't know if it was a female, the one that's telling me, but I hear an Elizabeth or a Betty or some sound like that.
Yeah,
Barbara. Yes. Okay, so is that being off to your mother?
No, that was my mother.
Did your mother's sister? But your mother's still here.
Yeah.
But they were tight, she tells me.
They were at the
Yeah. Interesting. So I want to say she's coming through, and I tell people you have the choice to do this or not, but she's coming through so that you just tell your mom that she's cool. Your mom doesn't have to hang on to that anymore. And it was interesting because I thought I was with you when I heard this, but I'm not positive now. But I'm hearing this again. So if it's not with you, there's a Dorothy or a Dora, a Dolores, I want to say. Is that with you?
Dorothy.
Yes, who's Dorothy?
Dorothy.
She's still here?
Yeah.
Living?
Yeah.
Would you know if she's lost somebody in the last year? You wouldn't know. Well, all I can tell you is either one of her dead relatives are coming through, or there's a reason that they're making reference to her. All right, so I'm going to assume that there's something coming up, or if you haven't talked to her, you will be, or whatever.
She's a producer on the show, actually, so she, I'm sure she's with us thinking of us in Germany.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she's very psychic, yeah.
Okay.
Listening to the show in Germany.
Okay.
Right.
All right, well, I don't speak German, so she's just taking the English form. It's interesting. She didn't speak.
She lived here. She's a producer of the show.
Oh, wow. Isn't that interesting? Okay. That's cool. But there must be some reason they brought her up. And I can't tell you why, but there must be a reason why. I'm just a telephone wire. Literally the telephone
she
wire.
Probably told them to mention me. No one's mentioned my name yet.
Yeah. They don't usually do that. So
well, that's interesting because we didn't get to any of the commercials today because, you know, we've been on cell phones and all of that, so... She usually mentioned the commercial, so she's giving herself her own commercial.
Okay.
Through the spirit.
That was nice of her to do that, yes?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I hear another sound, although I think I'm back there. There's a male with an M name. I don't know if I'm hearing Michael, Matt, Mark. I tend to hear those names alike. Is that your name? Okay. Between the two of you, quite literally, there's a gentleman. But I want to say he's younger. He would be like, I would call a peer. So I don't know if he belongs to you or he belongs to you. But I don't know if you lost either a male friend. Yes, okay. Was his passing boom like a fast accident? Freak accident. It's interesting because he said you had a connection. Big connection. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. So you must know his family. No, he says you know his family. Yes. He's better looking than Filippo. Why are they trying to play with you tonight, please? Very handsome man. Very, very handsome man. Now, were you together?
Yes.
Okay. You're not married now, are you?
Not anymore.
Okay, interesting. He would have told you not to go with that guy. I'll tell you, I don't think... am I losing my phone? Okay, I don't think he probably ever said this to you, but I want you to kind of think about this. This man knew he was going to live a short life. And I feel like he packed in a lot in his short years. He feels like a very physical guy to me, a real physical guy. So I don't know if he was like active or in sports or whatever, but I'm gathering with that. Now, I don't know if this has to do with his passing or there's something else, but I keep feeling like water, like swimming, something. With water. So I don't know if that was significant to him or important to him, but I
was very environmental.
Because literally, I'm feeling like water. And this is not cool. This is, you know, but I would say, like, I loved either ocean or things of that sort from what he's gathered for me. All right? He also tells me, so his name is Michael?
No.
Tim. You're Michael. Okay, then I want to know, where am I hearing a P name connected to him? Like, there's a Peter or a Paul, unless it's tied in with you, Michael. Okay. Well, you'll think about it, because he's been gone a long time. But I will tell you this, his mama's still here? Okay, and you're still in contact with her? Okay. Well, he's telling me to say, like, she'd love to hear from you. And please tell her that he came through, because... they were very tight, and they never got over his passing in his family. And he was the center of the family, very much the center. So is he telling me that he has a brother, or you have a brother, please? Yes, his brother's still here with David.
David,
hello, thank you. Nothing wrong with the dead people. It's you for the living. But I want to say that... is David younger? Oh, I keep feeling like somebody's in the shadow of the other. And interesting enough, even though I want to say David was older, he was very affected by his passing. Really very affected by his passing. Yeah. And he, interesting enough, he said, I got my own tributes. And I don't know what was given to him, but I'd be very surprised if somebody didn't either plant a tree or something, because he said things were planted for him. Yeah. And I don't, was he in school? And he said, he showed me plaques on the wall. They left plaques on the wall. Thank you. Because he said he was also a very smart man. Yes. And it's interesting. I don't know if it happened, but I think he would have been published if he had not been. I mean, he had that kind of a brain, very much that kind of a brain.
Suzanne, you're amazing. We could do this all night with you.
No, you couldn't.
No, we couldn't. And I said, but we can for 3 hours. Is it tomorrow? When does it start?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Yes.
We haven't told, we only have a couple more minutes left, and we haven't told everybody how they can.
Okay, well, you can do that.
First of all, I want to let everybody know that, first of all, you could learn more about Suzanne at suzannenorthrup.com, and that's S-U-Z-A-N-E-N-O-R-T-H-R-O-P.
Very good.
.com. And thank you. I'll be smarter and more better looking when I'm dead, actually. But in the meantime,
January 16th.
She's going to be at the Bodhi Tree on Sunday.
January 16th.
And that's
3:30.
1 to 3:30.
Yes.
And the price was how much?
$66 if you come from tonight, or you've heard of him tonight.
Okay. Well, very good. Yes. All right. Very good. And that's this coming Sunday.
Correct.
And so that's why you're in town, and we're so glad that you stopped here to
thank you. Well, I feel very, very happy you guys invited me.
Now, do you still do private sessions over
I
the phone?
I do private, I do groups. Yes,
so
I'm
those who didn't
those
get
well.
A chance to connect with you certainly can.
Yes.
And obviously, our audience that's been listening.
Yes.
And that's through SuzanneNorthrup.com.
Just go to my webpage and the how to contact me. It's easy.
Okay. If you didn't catch any of that or don't know about her spelling of her name, you can always go to lifechanges.ws or lifechangeswithfilippo.com.
They can Google my name, believe me.
You're all over the place.
I'm all over the
you
place.
You are all over the place, and you still got your radio show going.
I have my radio show, and I still have my TV show running in Canada.
Right. Excellent. We're so glad you came. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us thank Suzanne Northrup. We're going to bring Mark on to do one or two commercials and end the show for us. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody for being a part of this, our first live show in 2011. And you know what they say about rehearsals, bad dress rehearsals, good show? Well, this was our first show, and it wasn't bad, actually. It just wasn't what we expected. It was actually really good. But that means it can only get better in 2011. So thank you for that. Mark, I'm going to pass it on to you for the next 2 minutes. And I am Filippo Voltaggio. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a superabundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality, and ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWay's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. You can also join our family and friends on Facebook under Life Changes with Filippo. Remember, you can also keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website via Twitter, YouTube, and very soon our upcoming Life Changes social media network. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWay's Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Donahue. To learn more about them, you will find their links on the sponsor page. We would also like to extend a special thank you to our live location host for this show, Jackson Allen, located on La Brea Avenue in West Hollywood, California. That's Jackson, J-A-X-O-N, Allen, A-L-L-Y-N. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Oh,